Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Indoor Air Quality. I'm your host, Kyle Knappenberger. Today we're going to be joined by Laura Adler. Laura is an environmental toxin expert and educator. She's a certified holistic health coach, and she works to help health professionals better serve their patients by educating them on how exposure to environmental chemicals can have a negative impact on their lives. She takes a practical, real-world approach to dealing with toxins, and it's an informative, accessible, and very actionable. She guides her students on how to seamlessly integrate this topic into their practices and to leverage what they've learned to distinguish what they're doing within their field. Now I would like to welcome Laura to the show. Thank you for joining us. We're happy to be able to speak with you today. So how did you get into health and wellness?
I guess a little bit of an unusual way, in that I was interested in health and wellness really from my early teens, which, like most teenagers, don't care about that stuff. But I did. I really got tuned into this world through, being a vegetarian when I was in middle school, and then subsequently vegan. And I'm not either of those things anymore, but I started reading up about food and nutrition and was really fascinated, and it just became something that I personally was interested in for a really, really long time, but didn't pursue anything professionally in that world until, you know, at least 15, 18 years later. So just kind of stumbled into it as a kid.
You are a certified holistic health coach who studied integrative nutrition, but you're more focused on the coaching health professionals, correct?
So my business is mostly a B2B service, in that I don't actually do health coaching in my practice anymore. I teach other health practitioners. So all of my clients are not individual consumers. They're other health coaches and other nutritionists and naturopaths and chiropractors.
When you're working with someone and coaching them, what are some of the first things you have them focus on when they're working with their patients?
So the things that I'm really imparting on to my students is to change the things that we can control in our environment, so that we all don't have to worry about the things that we can't. And there's a lot of stuff that we're exposed to environmentally that we as individuals don't have a lot of control over. And, you know, for my students who are, you know, health practitioners primarily, they are dealing with chronic health issues in their practices. And that, as I'm sure that you know, the challenge with environmental health is that the symptoms of environmental exposures can manifest in hundreds of different ways. And so rather than try to, you know, only take a sort of condition-specific lens into the toxins conversation, I'm really teaching my students to kind of comb the home environment and start systematically reducing exposures in all the places that we can. That means in the kitchen, in the bathroom, in the bedroom, with our food, our water, our air quality, the household cleaners that we're using, and to just, that's the place where we can have the most impact. So I teach my students how to, you know, avoid exposures in as practical ways as possible.
Within your work, you're very focused on environmental toxins. What are some of the most common challenges that people in general face because of exposure to harmful chemicals?
It's a really great question, and it's actually a hard one to answer, because the answer is always, it depends. And that depends on what's happening with an individual person. So for example, if an individual is dealing with chronic respiratory issues, then I'm going to say the things that that person probably should be dealing with first are things that can contribute to respiratory distress. So that's going to be air quality, home fragrances, and things like that. If somebody is dealing with a chronic thyroid disorder or a estrogen dominant problem, whether it's like endometriosis or uterine fibroids, I'm going to change the sequence of things that I would encourage them to address. And I would say, hey, let's look at getting the hormone disrupting chemicals out first for that scenario. So it really does depend. But generally speaking, if I had to like pick a couple of things to address, I would just say let's start with the lowest hanging fruit and the things that are the easiest to address first, because at least then we can feel somewhat accomplished that we've done something. So in those areas, I would say, number one is going to be eliminating the use of plastics in the kitchen where they have direct contact with food. I think that's a biggie. A lot of people know about, bisphenol A, BPA being the sort of bad boy chemical, but all plastics leach some compounds that mimic estrogen, and that's a problem. And so that's really number one. I think number two is going to be, these aren't necessarily in order, is getting rid of the synthetic fragrances in the home, scented candles, air fresheners, Febreze-type products. These are unnecessary that are just contributing to overall poor indoor air quality, and they're, loaded with synthetic estrogens that can really mess with us in a lot of ways. And I'll just throw in a third, consuming as much organic food as possible with the aim of reducing exposure to pesticides. So those are sort of the three biggies that to me are non-negotiables. Like, everyone should be doing those things at the very least.
Do you have a recommendation or some easy things that our listeners could do if they're wanting to make their lifestyle better or make a lifestyle change?
Yeah. So, I really believe, and this is sort of echoed by some of the leaders in the environmental medicine space, is that avoidance is key. That avoidance of exposures is always going to be the first step, because it doesn't make any sense for us to, move forward with detoxification protocols or supplementation or any of that other stuff if we're still actively being exposed. And so avoidance is always going to be the first step, but let's just say that we got some of that avoidance stuff under control. We've taken a lot of measures to reduce exposure. At that point, I think it's appropriate to start bringing in the kind of nutrients that can help with the elimination of these toxins that have been built up in the body. Not all chemicals can be excreted quickly just because we've, started putting more cilantro in our diet or more fruits and vegetables. Some of them are a little bit harder to get rid of, but across the board, a general recommendation for most people is going to be to, increase the consumption of water, and ideally this is filtered water, and I would say properly filtered water because lots of people filter it wrong. So, really making sure that people are drinking enough water, that they are pooping regularly, and regularly should be at a minimum once a day. And if someone's not, then they're not able to detoxify, they're not able to eliminate the waste products in the body, and that includes, fat-soluble toxins and whatnot. So making sure all of those channels of elimination are open, and then supporting any foods or behaviors that are going to support liver function, because our liver is our primary organ of detoxification, and we just want to make sure that that's working. And we do that by consuming, sulfur-rich foods, our alliums, our onions, our garlics. We're eating our cruciferous vegetables, our kale, our broccoli, our collards, our cabbages. These are all foods that are rich in nutrients that help the body break down toxic chemicals and excrete them out. And so if we're not consuming enough nutrients to allow the body to do that, then they're going to build up in the body. And that's not a good thing. And then I would recommend things like sauna therapy. Sweating is a great way to release a large number of toxins, and regular sauna therapy can be beneficial for a long, long list of chronic health issues, aside from its ability to get toxins out of the body.
The amount of information you have, you kind of ranges from complex to more simplified information. What do you tend to focus on with the content that you provide?
I think both. And here's why. So, I think the average consumer, at least, whoever's listening to your podcast is not the average consumer, right? They're already going to be a more educated consumer that's aware of some of the issues around health and our environment. And so for people that fall into that category, what I have found is that type of consumer is really hungry for the really rich information. They're not okay with like the, you know, People magazine version of what we're talking about. They want the nerdier information. And, you know, I refer to my audience as the nerd herd because we love nerding out. And, you know, if, you know, people want to have a deeper level of education around this information, then yeah, absolutely. Like, there's going to be stuff on my website that's going to be relevant for them. But all of that stuff is still stuff that consumers are really hungry for. So I try to have a somewhat of an inclusive vibe there. And some of my courses are open to anyone who wants to take them. So I would like to think that it's a great resource for anyone who's looking for sort of a nerdy level of information.
Well, thank you for coming on the show today. If our listeners want to learn more about you and your courses and what they should do, where should they go?
Yeah, so my website is just my name. It's lauraadler.com. It's LARAADLER.com. And I'm on Instagram at Environmental Toxins Nerd. A little bit long, but there I am. And there's lots of fun stuff that happens on Instagram too, so people can give me a follow there if they want. And I'm, you know, always posting some tidbits and facts and things that people can do that can help to reduce exposures and just sort of do anything that's going to help optimize our health, because people around the world are not healthy right now, and we all need a little bit of help.
Any final words for our listeners today?
I think the last thing that I would probably say is that, you know, acknowledge that the conversation around environmental chemicals can feel overwhelming for people, especially when they're dealing already with some kind of health issue, which is most of us. And that's really where I'll just kind of tap back to what I said in the beginning about, you know, let's work on changing the things that we can control, so that we worry less about the ones that we can't, because there's a lot of stuff that we can't control. And if we take action on the things that we can, then we'll feel really good about that. So I'll leave with that.
Well, Laura, we really appreciate you coming on the show today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for inviting me to speak.
Well, that's all the time we have for our show today. So thank you for listening. And please remember, if you ever have any questions, you can submit them through our website, which is envirocleanse.com. And I'll spell that for you. That's ENVIRO KLENZ.com. You can also reach us by phone here in the United States at 239-330-9650, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Eastern, or you can send an email to our CustServe address, which is CustServe@timilon.com. And until next time, I'm Kyle, and this was Let's Talk Indoor Air Quality.